You're 47! What are you gonna do?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I feel like it on certain days, but no, I'm not. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Howdy, y'all. Welcome in. Great to have you. Happy Tuesday, my dudes and dudettes. I am Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, on the other side of the metaphorical glass. This beautiful upstate Tuesday AM. Boy, howdy when I tell you we got a show lined up for you today. Do I mean it? Four of the most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment that you're going to find anywhere starts right this very second. I was asked right before we came on the air.
Woo!
By the great one, Lonzo, that guy right over there. He said, Rob Brown, I'm sure you've explained this before, but...
I didn't say Rob Brown. I know you have to say Rob Brown. We were having a discussion about this yesterday. You were a part of it. You didn't know you were a part of it because you were, like, being voyeured. But during that whole thing...
Do not explain that any further.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you still got it. People who talk to each other don't say each other's names. So I did not say, hey, Rob Brown.
I mean, I think sometimes you start off by saying, hey, Lonzo, like I do. Hey, Lonzo, here's a question.
It's not necessary. I do not say, hey, Rob Brown, unless I'm being sarcastic.
So Lonzo did not say, hey, Rob Brown, but he said, hey. And that's how we started the conversation. You've explained this before, probably, but why do you not play fantasy football? And the reason he brings this up is that Espen is beginning today their fantasy football marathon, which checks out because we are in fantasy draft season. This is when most of you who play at some point this week, perhaps next week, if you have a lazy commissioner, or getting more than five people in their 40s together in one place at one time, as those of us who have that Venn diagram of nerd and sports know, it's like organizing. You know what it is? Fantasy football is D&D for jocks, all right? And
you've got the internet. You could Zoom or Google Meet or
that's
something.
That's not as fun. Okay. It's just not. It's not as fun as getting the fellas together and meeting up at the brewski bar and sitting around a big table and having a big chart and all that. Like, I understand a large portion of the appeal of fantasy football is the ability to gather with and watch ball with the boys and have something that is deeper than just we love football, specifically on A, the draft, and B, when you're dishing out your punishments at the end of the year.
No, that's the thing. It's not about any of that. It's about the punishment at the end. That's the reason why these things are so big now. It's because it's been publicized, it's been aggrandized, whatever, about all these really harsh and stupid punishments at the end of this thing. And so people are like, I want to see my guy, my friend, I want to see him suffer. So let's do this.
I would not argue with you that has been growing in popularity over the years. And as somebody who has had a segment on a nationally syndicated show dedicated solely and exclusively to embarrassing, shaming, or putting each other through physical pain and torment. Like, I get it. It's part of the appeal. But I would also say, like, there's not much that I enjoy more than watching ball with the boys. Like, I love getting together with the amigos to watch some basketball or some football or some baseball.
What if this was a work thing? Can you do a fantasy football? I've only did it once back when it first started back in the day, which I don't remember when that was, but it was a long time ago. Can you do it with just four people?
Yeah. I mean, you can. It's kind of pointless because everybody's going to have a kick-ass team. But
Is it pointless? Because if, we'll say, this team, talking about this show, were to beat that team, talking about wire to wire.
Oh, I see what you're setting up here.
And possibly some cross show punishment, I think that would be kind of fun.
To circle this back around to where we started here, there is a reason that I don't play fantasy football. There's actually a couple of reasons that I don't play fantasy football. The biggest reason that I do not play fantasy football is because I am this unfortunate mix of both competitive and obsessive compulsive. And over the years, it got to the point when it got to the point when I did play fantasy football that what ended up happening more often than not was that I was pouring hours of my life into setting, not even lineup, setting like a position in my lineup. I mean, I am deep diving past matchups, previous matchups. I'm looking at defensive trends, offensive trends. All right, this wide receiver has had his biggest games against teams that play at Tampa 2. This team's playing a cover 3 primarily, but they do it with a 3-4, not the 4-3. Quarterback may have a little more time in this one, yada, 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 yada. And it got to the point that I was genuinely, and this is where it stems from, when I was working back in Florida, I came to this realization one day that I was putting more effort into diagnosing and setting up my fantasy football lineup than I was actually diagnosing football for the sake of the radio program, which it was my job to host. Now, in some places that works. There are media outlets solely and exclusively dedicated to fantasy football. There is a SiriusXM channel that is just fantasy football. That's all those guys do. But I also understand that with those outlets hosted by dudes that's all they do is fantasy football evaluation, I'm not going to tiptoe in those particular tulips and bring anything to the table that those guys aren't going to bring. And if you are going to look for fantasy football advice, suggestions, whatever, you're going to go to the guys who, like, that's what they do for a living. That's what they do, is they deep dive the numbers to evaluate which matchups and what advantages you'll get by playing this guy or move that guy to the flex or, you know, sit that guy and start that guy, whatever. That's somebody like me who dabbles in fantasy football, but realistically, my job is to come in and give you the X's and O's of this game and also to break down and analyze games over here and also to give you the human interest side of sports. I had two options, which is either I just become the fantasy football guy, which, again, there's a lot of people who get paid a lot of money to do that all the time. Or, for me, put it to bed and actually dial in on football. And years ago, that was the decision that I made. I'm going to put fantasy football to bed, and I'm going to dive in on just being a good football dude. Being a guy who can talk the X's and the O's, as well as the human interest stories. So, once I did that as a radio professional, because there was a season probably around 2015 or 16. I was probably like 7 years deep in the broadcasting career at that point. There was a point around that time that I was in like 8 leagues. I had like 1 listener run league on my show. I was in another listener league for our afternoon show. I had 1 league with buddies of mine from college and 1 league from all the frat bros from back in the day. And I had this league and I was in like 8 leagues. And I was spending, you know, on Tuesdays searching the waiver wire in 8 leagues, Wednesdays setting lineups for Thursdays or whatever day it was. Sunday morning, I was out of bed at like 7 a.m. on a Sunday because I had 5 hours to kick off and it's my last chance. Plus, you gotta search the news, make sure none of your guys got a speeding ticket last night or went to jail or whatever. It just kind of got to the point where I was like, I can't do this. The unfortunate mix of obsessive compulsive and uber competitive created this world where fantasy football was eating up. And when I say hours, I don't mean four or five. I mean was eating up like the same number of hours as doing my job.
Aren't there like doomsday leagues or something where you just pick your lineup and you're stuck with it for the entire season?
I'm sure that there are. There's all kinds of leagues.
Why not do something like that? So you don't have to worry about changing anything. Who you got is who you got, and find out who wins at the end.
Because then what am I doing? Like, why am I paying it? I don't have any reason to pay attention to it now.
Well, then the draft means more.
Then I'm just having a draft, and then what? I'll see you guys in 18 weeks. Like, that's, to me, that's the same amount of not fun.
I don't think that's how that works. I mean, if you do the draft and you're stuck with who you got, you're still going to be looking each week.
I don't think I can't do anything about it.
And don't,
I am a big believer in the philosophy.
And don't you?
Of,
you get reserves and stuff anyway in a draft, so you can switch your lineup. That, you just can't.
Then I'm right back to it.
Then you can't get anyone off the waivers if your guys go out and get arrested or get hurt or something. You're just done.
See, but now we're like, if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it, right? Like if I'm gonna do a thing, I'm going ass into it. Like there's no, I'm not gonna. Well, I want to do it, but like. Not that much. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to, if I go to the gym to work out, I'm not going to walk 10 minutes on the treadmill and call it a day. Like, no, I'm going to kick my own ass. I'm going to make myself hurt for a couple of days to make this feel like it was worth it. I don't know. It's just, I don't think there's not a bet. I am incapable of striking a balance. I know that there are all these new, there's all these new leagues that are propping up where people are coming up with different rules. For instance, I saw one the other day called a guillotine league, and you do not play an opponent week by week. Everybody's scores are tabulated together, and the lowest scoring team in the league is eliminated. You're out. You're done playing fantasy football in this league. All the players on that team go onto the waiver wire, and once they're all on the waiver wire, you know, you pick a time every week. Wednesdays at 5 p.m., the waiver wire opens up. And everybody can dive in. Every team, every player on the eliminated team goes into the waiver pool. And whoever picks them up, based on waiver wire order, whoever picks those guys up, you add it to your team. Next week, we run it back. Start on Thursday, you're locked in. Nobody plays head-to-head. Everybody just puts their score into a pool. Lowest score moves on. Could you imagine getting knocked out of one of those in week two? Like, it would ruin my week. Now it'd ruin my season.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the fun of it. I mean, the fact that you're hanging on going, look, Cole got eliminated. That's great.
See, but to me.
So you're more worried about you. The more fun is watching other people be eliminated.
Now, see, that's the difference between me and you. That's the difference between me and you. You don't take joy in victory. You take joy in watching others defeat. I take joy in talking immense amounts of bleep because okay. I beat you, not you lost.
All right, here's the
I
thing.
Beat you.
You know, if other people are being defeated, I'm winning. Right?
Right, but you understand where you're finding satisfaction in that equation is different. Oh, no. That's what I'm saying.
All right, so my joy is in winning, but my joy is also in looking at somebody else and they lost. So, and it depends on who you're, if I'm going to get, all right, there's no, if we did one, and I know we're not going to, but if we did the four of us, I would enjoy every one of you guys losing. And I don't believe for a second that the three of you wouldn't enjoy any of us losing.
The
gloating you would do if we played one week and I lost and was out of it.
I don't disagree, but here's the other issue. If we are going to do fantasy football, I want it to be winner slash loser is dictated by strength and success of general manager, not by you got lucky in the draft. I want it to
this
be because
this is not fun for you. This is science, guy. This is we have to do it this way, guy. Not let's just have some fun, and fun is friendly competition. It's not. Well, I got to scour the waiver wires. Oh no, I know I got. I mean,
Do you want to win, or do you want to win? Like, I want to win, and to me, if I want to win, whether it's fantasy football or anything
else, you're saying
I am going
not
to dive all the way in by doing the thing to the absolute best of my ability, not go, all right, drafted, see you guys in week 18.
So fun for you is obsessing.
No, fun for me is winning, but to win, you must obsess.
I don't think you have to obsess to win. I don't think so.
Name me a thing you've won at you haven't obsessed with.
Lottery.
You've won the lottery.
Yeah, like little scratch-offs.
No, no, no. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's just like, you know, I spent a couple bucks and it's like, oh, look, I won 50 bucks.
I am sorry to inform you.
Did not go, oh, one more number.
I am sorry to inform you. You did not win. You found a winning ticket. There is a difference. You did nothing. Okay, let me rephrase that. Something that you've won that you had to do a thing, not go to the gas station and buy a scratchy. I'm talking about a skill-based
talent.
Sounds
dirty when you say scratchy.
You had to do a thing, because that's different. I'm the let me put it this way.
I am the most unskilled person you know. So, you know, anytime I win something, it's special.
I don't know. You've won 3 crystal trophies.
I've won more than that.
But that's my point, right? Yeah, here you go, great one. Here you go. What if?
I don't want to bring that up right now.
What if we get an email in a month that says, all right, everybody, start putting your SCBA, Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year submissions. But here's the thing. This year, you're not producing any of those. We're just going to tune in on 3 random days, and we're going to listen to 1 random segment from those 3 random days between here and there, and we're going to base our pick on that.
All right, who's listening?
Stop messing with my hypothetical.
No, because
stop messing with it, you hypothetical.
If it's
killer.
One certain person who's listening, he's going to find the worst one. Just automatically, he's just going to find the worst one. You know who I'm talking about. You know he would.
The point here is, part of the fun, I assume, for you and us winning crystal trophies is the knowledge that you, using your immense amount of talent, put together this submission that is the representation of the show. And you know that when we get handed one of those crystal trophies, that the submission that you used immense amounts of talent to put together and submit beat out the submissions made by other people who use their talents to get beat by you.
By the way, I'm only as good as the product. So, I mean, you know.
I mean, that's fine, but you still got to put the damn thing together.
The whole chicken salad thing. I mean, you know. So, I listen. If the product wasn't good, I couldn't make something.
I don't disagree, but that's not the point. The point of this is, do you not obsess over those submissions annually?
So you're saying I can't shame you into doing this just so we could have fun?
No, you can't.
Okay.
No, you can't. Because what ends up happening is I end up checking it every bleeping morning and mid-morning and late morning and afternoon and late afternoon and night.
What if I checked it for you and gave you a report?
Then I'm not playing fantasy football.
Every morning.
Then I'm not playing.
All right, here's your guys. Here's the available on waivers. What would you like me to do? What if I was your general manager?
No, then I'm not playing. What's the point? Now, with all of that being said,
I definitely wouldn't pick what you picked either. So I'd probably be like, yeah, you said this, but I knew what you really wanted.
With all of that being said, Rob Brown is not a fantasy football guy. However, I do want to make it abundantly clear, this week, next week, as you're getting ready for your draft, I am here for your fantasy football questions. You got a question? Which wide receiver do I got? Which quarterback do I get? Where do I draft my tight end, et cetera, et cetera? If you want to bounce it off me, I'm good at it. I just don't want to do it. I will help you manage your team. I'm just not going to do my own. Because the combination of uber competitive and OCD, not a great mix for your boy. So, if you have fantasy football questions or thoughts or whatever, I got your back. All right? Lefty Tiger said, if you run a Rob Brown Show fantasy league, I'd love to get in. Lefty Tiger, love you. Not doing it. Not even for, you know how much I love y'all. You know how much I love y'all. I'm not even doing it for y'all. That's how much I don't want to do it. Because it would wreck the next 18 weeks of my life. It just would. All right, that's going to do it on why Rob doesn't play fantasy football. The answer is because I am obsessive, compulsive, and unhealthily competitive.
Unless, of course, you guys keep asking him why.
Nope. I can go ahead and tell you. You want to know how?
New listeners each hour.
No. Lonzo, my wife said, will you set up a fantasy football league for me and the girls? I said, I will set it up. Yes, I will not help you run your team. She's like, why not? I was like, because it's all I will do. It's all I'll do. I told my wife no. You think I'm not going to tell Lefty Tiger
all
no?
Right. She wants to win, and she believes that you can help her do that.
Good.
And you're still saying no.
Good, sweetheart.
Wow.
Listen to the show and text me your questions.
Not even a year later.
Gosh. I'm not running your league for you. I'm not doing it. We got a lot of football to get to. AP Top 25 preseason poll dropped yesterday, and I heard the chorus of folks, we need to cancel the preseason polls. It's never going to happen, and we'll talk about why next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Associated Press preseason top 25 dropped yesterday. The University of Texas claimed for the very first time in the history of their school's football program, the number one spot. 25 of the first place votes went to the Horns. They edged out number two, Penn State. And they did so by 2 points. Texas number one with 1,552 points. Penn State number two with 1,547 points. Texas got 25 first place votes. The Nittany Lions got 23. Ohio State checks in third with 11 first place votes. And they check in about 70 points behind Penn State. Clemson got 4 first place votes. They check in number 4 in the AP preseason top 25, just ahead of the University of Georgia, who got 1 first place vote. Notre Dame is 6th. They are the first team without a first place vote. Oregon, number 7, did get 1 first place vote. No other teams got a first place vote. Oregon, 7. Alabama, LSU, Miami round out your top 10. Arizona State, the highest-ranked Big 12 team, at number 11. The Illini of Illinois at number 12. South Carolina checks in the AP preseason poll at number 13. Michigan and Florida round out your top 15. 16 through 25 goes SMU, Kansas State, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Indiana, Ole Miss, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Tennessee, and Boise State. So, when this AP poll dropped yesterday, I saw the, as is tradition, the annual chorus of sports writers, sports blabbers like myself, and fans across America with the echoes of, we should do away with the preseason polls.
These polls are fun to talk about. There's only one poll that matters. Only one, and that's the CFP. That's the only one that matters. It's the only one that factors into who's going to be in the playoff and who's not. So until then, all these other polls are placeholders and stuff for people like us to get to talk about.
You are, respectfully, completely incorrect. This poll absolutely matters, and I'll tell you why. Because
you didn't convince me last year. You're not going to convince me this year. You're never going to convince me. But, I mean, you know, I am losing brain cells, so it's, I guess, eventually maybe.
Well, I know you work with me, and I'm sorry about that, but I'm doing the best I can. This poll does matter because the higher up that you are to start, the further to the top you are, the closer to the top you are when you lose. And the closer to the top you are when you lose, the easier it is to climb back to the top based on the rest of the results after that. If you are Texas starting off at number one and you are taking on Ohio State at number three, if Texas loses that game to Ohio State, what do you think is reasonably and realistically the furthest that Texas would drop for number one? I would say 7.
It depends on how bad of a loss it was. I mean, if it's a blowout, they're going to drop a lot farther. But if it's a close game, I would say 6.
That's why it matters.
How much do these polls factor into the CFP? They go, okay, well, the AP says this and the coaches poll says this, so we should fall somewhere in between. Or do they do what they're supposed to do and watch the games?
Well, I would love to say that we live in an ideal world and that's what happens. But here's the reality of the situation. Our job is to watch these games, and our job is to know these teams. Our job is to come in here on Monday mornings and be able to say, hey, 11 o'clock or on Saturday, Oregon played Kansas State. Kicked off at 11 at Autzen Stadium in Eugene, Oregon. The reality of the situation is that, and I know this for a fact, because I guarantee you that with a rare exception, and you can ask my wife, and she will be not happy to conclude the exact same thing that I'm about to tell you. You're not going to find, at least on a local sports radio level, you're not going to find many guys who are watching more college football than I am. You're just not. most dudes that are in this industry, and this is not to poo-poo on them or anybody else. If you have an entertaining show, you have an entertaining show. It does not matter how much football you do or do not watch. This is something I've had to accept over the years. The only thing that matters is your show entertaining? And if the answer is yes and you watch zero football, congratulations. And if the answer is you watch a gazillion games, but your show's not entertaining, then it doesn't matter if you're the biggest, smartest, big brain football boy in the world. But we're not the guys who are establishing who's going to the playoffs and not. In an ideal world, yes, every person on the college football playoff committee would watch every game of every team that is at least a legitimate contender to get in. Yes, I would like to think that when week 0 and 1 come to their conclusion, I would like to think that every member of that committee will have watched every game played by Texas, Penn State, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Notre Dame, Oregon, Alabama, LSU, Miami, Arizona State, Illinois, South Carolina, Michigan, Florida, SMU, Kansas State, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Indiana, Ole Miss, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Tennessee, and Boise State. I would like to think that every member of that. Do you realistically think that's happening? I don't. Not for a second. Not for a second. They may check in on the highlights. They may check in on the stats. They may check in on a lot of different stuff. But I'm going to wager, and I'm not going to name anybody specifically on the committee, but I'm going to guess that especially, respectfully, the old dudes on that committee, the ones that are based in New York or based in, wherever on the East Coast. Do you think that they're hanging out watching Oregon play Oregon State and at a 10:30 p.m. kick in New York City?
I don't know if you've heard about this thing. It's called a DVR. So they don't have to watch it live when it happens. They can watch it the next day. They can do that.
I appreciate you being a committee apologist. I respect it.
Or being old.
But realistically
which I am.
Realistically speaking, no. I do not for a second believe that every member of the committee is watching every game of every contender. There's just not the time. There's just not. I do my best, and I don't get them all in. And I take this very seriously, the watching of the football. So.
All right. I'm looking. I looked up the roster of the CFP people for this year. And there may be one guy in his 70s. Everybody else looks like they're around my age or younger. So I don't know, dude. I don't think you can blame it on I get that you think you need to watch the game live and you don't, especially if you're watching it in an analytical way, which these guys are without fandom. They're watching it like a coach would. So they may get sent coaches film. We don't know that.
You're perfectly fine. Perfectly correct. You are not wrong.
Sit down in the afternoon, watch a couple games. Next day, sit down, watch a couple games.
Maybe so. Again, let's for the sake of discussion and assumption, assume that every member of the committee watches every single game of every single contender. Let's say they open the year with 25 teams in the AP Top 25, and they watch every single one of every single game of every single team. All well and good. I know that as seriously as I take this, I take into consideration the input and opinions and analysis of a lot of people across the sportosphere. And I do that because while I like to think I'm a pretty good football guy, I am not an infallible football analyst. I'm not. I'm going to miss stuff. Other guys are going to see stuff. Other gals are going to see stuff that I don't. I take into a lot other people's opinions. And so these AP polls, these coaches' polls, whatever, yeah, they're going to have an impact. But here's the best part about all of it. The AP preseason top 25 poll, 1,000% has an impact on how the season rankings shape up. Now, if you're number one and you lose 4 games, yeah, you've cooked yourself. But if you're number one and you have a similar strength of schedule to number 4 and you lose a game around the same time as number 4, the likelihood is you will still be ahead of number 4. Right? That's just how these numbers work out annually. But even that isn't the reason that the AP preseason poll, the AFCA coaches preseason poll, the USA Today preseason poll. All these polls are still going to not only come out preseason, but they're going to come out for a reason that's bigger than, as Lonzo opened the segment with, they're fun to talk about. And they are. But that's not the reason they do them. I'm going to tell you what that is when we come back. Rob Brown, the Great Man Lonzo, and you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's The Fan Upstate.
Go.
The AP preseason poll dropped yesterday. We ran over it in the last segment of the show. Teams 1 through 25, according to the Associated Press, before the season gets going. And cool fun, we're going to talk about who's where and why later, because as Lonzo appropriately and accurately pointed out, that regardless of how you feel about the existence of preseason polls, if nothing else, especially in these last, what are we sitting at, 9 days until next Thursday night when we all gather around our television sets, pour our beverage of choice, pull our smoked meats of choice off of the smoker and get prepared for kickoff of week zero of college football, I know and I am quite excited. As we all get set to kick back and participate in a little college football, there is a reason that it's irrelevant how you feel about it, how I feel about it. I honestly think that it would be a good thing if we did not release our first poll until week 6 or 7 of the season. Let's let teams get 5 or 6 or 7 games under their belt before we determine who or what they are. Why? Well, because otherwise you might start your season with, I don't know, Florida State ranked number 10 in your AP preseason poll, only to find out at the end of the year they were 2-10. And had you waited 3 weeks last year, you'd have known Florida State's not a top 10 team. Last year, the University of South Carolina started the season not just unranked. They did not receive a vote in the AP preseason top 25. Colorado got a vote. Auburn got 2. Kentucky got 3. Appalachian State got 4 votes in the AP preseason top 25 last year. South Carolina got 0. The Gamecocks ended the season ranked number 13 in the country after knocking off Clemson. Preseason polls are relatively unreliable, but I would also point out that you started the year with Georgia ranked number 1. You ended with them ranked number 5. Ohio State ranked number 2. They ended the regular season ranked number 7, but obviously would go on to win the Natty. You started with Oregon ranked number 3 with 1 first place vote. They ended the season ranked number 1 with all 62. You started with Texas ranked number 4. They ended number 2. Alabama ranked number 5. They ended number 11. They're not egregious, but they're not perfect either. However, that's not the reason that these polls exist. That's not the reason that they come out preseason to an echo, a chorus of end preseason polls from sports writers and bloggers and talkers and fans alike. Would you like to know why it is that these polls drop at the beginning of the year? I'll go ahead and enlighten you. It starts Saturday, August 23rd. Do you know what we have that night? Saturday, August 23rd, we have number 22 Iowa State taking on number 17 Kansas State. Genuine question. How many people, and I'm not going to say you specifically, Armada, because you are the best of the best and the brightest of the brightest. You're like Will Smith in Men in Black. You're here because you're the best of the best. That's Rip Torn, which is maybe the greatest stage name in the history of stage names. You're here because you're the best of the best. But the casuals out there, the casual college football fan, and I'm not hating on the casual college football fan, that's a lot of people. But a casual college football fan may not know a ton about Kansas State and Iowa State unless they are from the state of Kansas or the state of Iowa. But you know what they do know? What they do know is that on August 23rd, we got a top 25 matchup starting at noon live from Dublin, Ireland.
So you don't think, hypothetically, you know, that casual fan goes, that game doesn't matter?
No.
They're not ranked in the top 10.
No.
Why do I care about that game?
I think they might look and go, hey, that's two teams with a number out front. Ergo, two teams with aspiration. Why not? It's at noon. It's the only game on. Why not? I think that you look at a team like number 25, Boise State. And if you paid attention at all, even casuals know, Boise State made the playoffs last year. Granted, it was because of Ashton Jante, but Boise State is the pick of a lot of media members, hence them being ranked 25 in the preseason poll. A lot of people going to go, that team probably back this year as the G5 representative, as the little engine that probably can't, but maybe can, but possibly could. There's a number out next to him. They're also going to look at the week one games that start on Saturday. Number one, Texas versus number three, Ohio State. Now, to all of us, as we are, once again, the best of the best, the brightest of the brightest, we are going to look at that and go, that's two teams with national championship aspirations on the line. And not like, kinda, like number 17 and number 22. That's number one and number three. And that sentence is the reason preseason polls aren't going away. Because we are kicking off with number one versus number three. That is the first game on Saturday, August 30th. And that's not to say you got Alabama at Florida State. That's number eight taking on a team that was a disaster last year and has a real opportunity to put on a billboard that we back. That's not taking into consideration that it's 7:30 p.m. right on down the road in Death Valley 2. Clemson and LSU, 9 versus 4. The sex appeal of having those numbers out front of teams early in the season. Later in the season, it might mean a little bit more to the casual fans. But if you are a fan who's like, not like me, on Saturdays, starting on the 23rd, on those Saturdays, your boy is going to have, right now, no less than 5 screens in the Bro Cave. And I gotta tell you, there's a very good chance that next Thursday or Friday, Rob Brown is going to pull everything off the wall and hang 2 more big screens up because I got room. Somebody like me, you don't have to talk me into it. But somebody that's more casual, somebody that's I'll watch a game if there's a big game on. The college version of the people that show up for the Super Bowl party. You know who I'm talking about. That you got your buddy that you meet him or her at the bar because y'all watch every game on NFL Sunday. And then the Super Bowl rolls around and you throw the party and all of a sudden Mr. or Mrs. your buddy, who you don't see all regular season, not only do they show up, but they're big Chiefs guys. They're big Eagles guys. They're big Bills guys, Ravens guys, whoever's in the Super Bowl guys. They're big those guys. You hadn't seen them all year long. You had no idea they even liked football. You, in fact, quite the opposite, assumed they didn't like football. Because you meet at the bar every Sunday for football, and they never show up. But now all of a sudden, they're rolling up, and they got the T-shirts and the face paint, and they're big whatever guys. I enjoyed it, for the record. The Super Bowl a couple of years ago when Tay-Tay showed up and she was Travis's girlfriend for the first time for that first Super Bowl, I went to a Super Bowl party. The same Super Bowl party that I have been going to since I got here. We got one dear group of friends of mine, Chris and Becky, amazing people, and they throw a Super Bowl party annually, and the wife and I go every single year. And usually, there's like, you know, 12, 14, 16 of us. That year, there was like 28 people in their house. And about half of them weren't there because they cared about football. They were there because Tay-Tay's boyfriend was in. Casuals. Again, fine. We had a ball. It was great. In fact, I had more fun than anybody because I kind of became the guy that was like explaining to the gals who were there for Trav's girl what was happening and why. I love it. It's great because if I can get hooked, bang, I got new football fans in the audience, right? That's good for me.
Yeah, that's why.
Okay. That's good for me. My wife was there. Relax, bud. Relax.
I'm voicing the people over here. That's
mm-hmm,
all.
Mm-hmm. So the point is, these numbers that we can arbitrarily and subjectively stick out next to the names of college football teams before they take the field for the first time, before the marching band hits the first note, before Corso puts on the first and last mascot head, before Pat takes his shirt off, before the first I is dotted, before the first MGO Blue Banner is slapped, before Osceola plants the spear, or Mr. Two-Bits does his thing, or they run down the hill, or Cocky comes out of the cockaboose, we just subjectively and arbitrarily stick some numbers next to the teams that we think are going to be the best. But they are doing that because it makes things sexy. Iowa State at Kansas State is probably not going to get a ton of love on Saturday, August 23rd at noon from Dublin, Ireland, outside of the Midwest. However, if we can sell you that Avery Johnson and Kansas State are a legitimate threat to win the Big 12, and therefore a legitimate threat to any team from the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten that were to make the playoffs. You might catch Kansas State, and you might catch Avery Johnson. And if Avery Johnson is indeed a Heisman Trophy candidate, as some are projecting him to be, Kansas State might be a threat. They might be. If that dude is the Lenora Sellers of the Midwest, they might be a legitimate threat to you. So, now, all of a sudden, I got to think if you're Clemson, if you're South Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, if you're a team that genuinely believes that you are a contender this year, now Kansas State matters. And oh, by the way, they're taking on Iowa State. They're taking on the Cyclones. They're taking on a top 25 team. They're going to get competition right out of the gate. It's sexy, man. It's sexy. It's like how half of y'all tune into the show and watch the stream because I'm bringing the sex appeal to the internet every day and I don't charge you $9.99 a month for it. It's that. But Kansas State and Iowa State. If Clemson LSU theoretically is a game that has sex appeal just on what those two brands are, but now we've got all these other narratives going on. We've got, is Brian Kelly on the hot seat? Is this a genuine referendum on whether the Dabo Swinney philosophy is viable in 2025? If the answer to those are yes, this is sexy enough. But OBT dubs, now it's top 10. Now it's two teams that don't just have national championship aspirations. Now they have championship aspirations and they're starting on the pole. They're at the front of the field when the green flag drops on the 30th. That's why these preseason polls come out. Notre Dame-Miami, opening Sunday, 7:30 p.m., the Irish and the Canes, number 6 versus number 10. Sexy! Maybe I'll watch football all day on Saturday because it's week one, and I will. But now it's Sunday, and now the wife, not mine, because we'll be in Atlanta at South Carolina, Virginia Tech, but maybe some wives, some husbands out there, they go, babe, you watch college football all day yesterday. Do you really have to watch more? And you can go, It's number 6 versus number 10, sweetie. This is potentially a national championship eliminator game right out of the gate. Yeah, I got to watch this. Sexy. College football's bringing sexy back. That's why we have this poll. Now, with that being said, in the next hour, let's talk about who starts where in the poll and why it matters and why they will or will not be where they end up. We'll do that. A huge announcement from Clemson and South Carolina. They're going to have something in common that fans on both sides of the spectrum hate. I'll tell you what that is coming up after the water cooler cheat sheet in the next hour. Before we get to any of that, here is the best 60 seconds of your life today. Lonzo Sports Flash.
Lighten up, Cruz. The Associated Press preseason top 25 dropped yesterday with Texas Longhorns holding the top spot for the first time in school history. Texas checked in 5 points ahead of Penn State, closest margin from first to second since 1998. Ohio State holds the third spot ahead of number 4 Clemson and number 5 Georgia. Notre Dame is 6th and Oregon is at number 7. Alabama, LSU, and Miami round out the top 10. South Carolina checked in at 13. The Milwaukee Brewers won a 10th consecutive game for the second time this season, making them the first MLB team since 2019 with multiple winning streaks of at least 10 games. 7-1 win over Pittsburgh also made the Brewers the third team over the past 30 years to win the first 10 games in August. Two more Team USA Ryder Cup slots have been claimed. U.S. Open winner J.J. Spahn, who checked in second to Justin Rose in the FedEx St. Jude Championship after playoff, and Xander Schauffele.